Mind Mastery Radio presents another fantastic interview. Today we have with us Lourdes Pita.
Lourdes, of Hispanic heritage, picked up the guitar when she was 9 years old. Her mother, the internationally acclaimed Cuban poet in exile, Juana Rosa Pita, taught her how to play guitar and to sing Spanish and English folk songs. She studied classical music throughout elementary and high school and played with the orchestra as second chair flute. In her last year of high school, she realized writing songs and performing was her true passion. Her music is a celebration of the human spirit that enchants and inspires the listener. As a highly skilled songwriter and with skilled musicianship on the electric guitar and folk guitar, her voice, sweet yet powerful and enchanting, draws you into her music and you want to hear more. Select songs from her CDs are being featured on many TV and cable stations. Let's hear more from Lourdes herself. Listeners, stand up, raise those arms, and give a Mind Mastery Radio love you. Welcome to Lourdes Pita.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome to Mind Mastery Radio's fantastic interview.
This sounds great.
Oh, good. I'm glad. Lourdes, let's just kick this thing off. Give the listeners a brief history of, you know, where you've come from and how you got to where you're at right now.
Brief history, huh? How brief would you like, exactly?
You just do what feels good.
Okay. Well, I came to Boston about 20 years ago. I was living in Miami and studying music there in the college in Miami, and then I came here, and I really met up with a lot of great songwriters here. I learned a lot. I started writing a lot of music, and when I first moved to Boston, my brother had told me, oh, you could go play in the subway. There are lots of musicians out there, and I said, oh, I wouldn't sell my soul in the subway. What, are you kidding me? And after 2 weeks of a clerical job, I asked my brother, what about that subway thing again? And I looked at, you know, I went to Boston, I went to Green Line, I'm checking out all these musicians playing in the subway. I said, this is horrible. I can't play in the subway. This is so loud. And then when I checked out Harvard Square, I thought, oh, this will be my station. And I actually really polished my playing quite a bit those 2 years that I was playing in Harvard Square. I played sometimes 7 hours at a time.
Oh, wow.
So I really started learning how to write music just from playing so much of other people's music. And I got to the point where I just became very prolific. Then I started playing outside. I got out of the subway, got club gigs, coffee house gigs. And, you know, then I got in a band and started getting airplay in the local college stations. And my first CD, Now Is the Time, actually did quite well in Europe. I should have gone to tour there, but I never did. One of my issues was that I am such a homebody that I'm not too into touring. So in the last 8 years or so, I've been a showcase artist with mainly being a recording artist and always being in the studio and writing, which is definitely my passion.
Well, you've got some fantastic songs out there. Listeners, I'm not joking. You've got to get to her website and purchase her songs because they are awe-inspiring and all the good words. I'm going to have to get a dictionary so I can come up with new words. But
that's great. Well, that's so encouraging, yes. I definitely have a recurring theme in my music, and that's why I think it probably fits so well in your radio station. It's all about self-mastery, mind mastery, and overcoming obstacles and always staying positive and never giving up. And that's pretty much the core themes of all my songs almost.
Well, the beats and the music itself, whether it's the guitars or any of the background sound, just really grabs your mind, it grabs your heart, and you're into it totally.
Oh, well, thank you.
really are. You've been kind of described as, is it pop folk or is it folk pop? What do you consider your style of music?
Well, that's always been the toughest question for me because I've always had so many influences that I think it really has translated into my writing. I might write one song that is kind of pop, and sometimes people say, "You sound like Madonna, but better." Or then they say I sound like Joan Baez, or if I'm doing some of my Spanish stuff, then I'm compared to Gloria Estefan, or if I'm doing more folky stuff. It really depends. I do blues. I have such a variety of styles that I write in, which apparently people that listen to my CDs enjoy that variety. They say, I just can't stand it when CDs all sound the same, every song. So I guess that's good for the people listening. I guess it's not so good if you're trying to market your music. what category do we put you in exactly?
Mm-hmm.
That's usually my biggest obstacle.
Mm-hmm. You were saying earlier about having your music overseas.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of countries or where are they, and why do you feel that your music is being really taken in over there?
Well, when I released the first CD in 94, Now is the Time, my promoter said, honestly, at this point, your music is would be so appreciated in Europe, and he decided to do a campaign there. He tried a little bit here in the States, but he didn't get anywhere near the reception that he did in Europe and places like Prague and Spain and Italy. A bunch of different places in Europe were actually picking up a couple of the songs from the new CD and putting it on regular rotation. I was played quite a bit in probably four or five places in Europe. So I did very well there, and then I should have probably gone on tour over there. But I didn't. I stayed here and kept recording more music.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I understand. I'm a homebody, too, so I understand. I like being home. So
yeah, the touring thing is something I'm going to do when I release my next CD next year. I'm going to just toward the Northeast, and I'm probably going to try a little bit of finally going to Europe. So.
Do you have a favorite song, and or make it a little more general, do you have a favorite CD?
Depending on the day, I think that probably In Control is probably my favorite.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us why?
Well, I think the CD thematic, theme-wise, and the flow of the songs and the musicians on the CD, I think it flows better than any of my other CDs.
Okay.
It's really hard to say. I have a special place in my heart for all three that I've put out.
Oh, I can certainly understand that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where does your inspiration come from when you write a song? You know, is it something that's flowing through you, or, you know, where does it come from?
Well, it really depends. On my latest CD, Seize the Dream, there's a song on there called Clear Sign, which I dreamt. I woke up one morning and I said, oh, I have a song. I dreamt a song, and I frantically wrote it down. I don't dream most of my music, but a lot of it I do. And then, of course, thinking, do I want to write a song? Is there anything I hear? I just try to put any other outside noise out of my head for a couple of days. In fact, it's hard for me, but I have to actually not listen to music for a few days in order for me to hear what I want to write next. And then I just kind of wait and see what comes through. A lot of times the melody comes through, and then the words are flowing along with the melody. And I usually like to sit down and just write in complete silence until all of it comes out when I pick up the guitar and then try to translate it.
That was going to be my next question.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. I love the song Seize the Dream.
You do? Oh, wonderful.
Yes, I do. And why did you choose that as the name of that CD?
Well, I thought it had the most powerful message, and it sort of really carried the theme for the rest of the songs, and that's really the reason I chose it, because I just thought it, you know, when I took all the songs and I looked at all of them, I thought, well, Seize the Dream seems to sum them all up pretty well.
Okay. Can you give the listeners maybe just the chorus of Seize the Dream?
Well, the lyrics for the chorus are pretty. Let's see. Well, see, now you're putting me on the spot. It's basically "Together we can seize the dream" is pretty much the chorus. It's basically, we all have to work together to help each other and encourage each other. That's pretty much the whole point, that we can't live in a vortex and we can't live in an isolated world into ourselves. We have to reach out and work with other people and help other people, and the more we help each other to achieve our dreams and our goals, the more we can achieve them in our own life. So that's why the "Together we can seize the dream" is probably the most important line in that song.
I have to ask about the song Eight Winds. Where that from? What inspired you?
Well, that's a good one. Well, I studied a lot of Buddhism for many, many years. I had a Buddhist practice, and I still do. And Eight Winds is actually the title of a letter that Nichiren Daishonin wrote to his disciples way back when. And it's basically the essence of what the eight winds are. There's four good winds and there's four bad winds, and basically we can get swayed by either. For example, if we're having a really bad day and everything is going wrong, that's being swayed by one of the bad winds, and we have to stay in control and keep our composure and not let it get to us. On the other hand, we could win the lottery, and we could be completely swayed by that too, or we could be madly in love and sort of lose our center. So the whole point of the eight winds is to follow really the middle path, to stay centered.
Oh,
So
yeah.
not to be swayed by when things bad happen to you or when good things happen to you. It's both.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. I listened to that and listened to that, and I understood what you were saying, but I thought, where did she get that from?
Yeah, everybody wants to know, what are the eight winds?
Yeah, exactly.
I forget what they are right now, but I know that that's basically the general concept of what it means. To
Good.
not get swayed by your life, whether it's good or bad stuff happening, to always, keep your center.
Yeah. Well, that's
Which I've
super.
always found very, very difficult. So that's why I write about these things.
Is
Because
that
I'm
what?
trying to live by music.
Yes, I understand
You know
completely.
what I mean. So
Yes.
you write about, at least I do, I write about those things that I aspire to do, which
Yes.
is to stay in control and keep my center,
Walk the talk. Yeah. That is difficult. I certainly have challenges with that
all
at
the
times.
things that are very difficult for most humans.
I see obstacles follows that on this particular CD.
Yeah, that was intentional.
I was wondering if that was good.
They always go together.
They do, don't they?
Yes.
Your first line is obstacles. Here they go again. Oh, so true.
Yes. And the same, this it's pretty much those two songs are carry the same theme, just worded differently is all.
Yeah.
And with obstacles, my whole point was, here they go again, is, what's your attitude when the obstacle arises? Is are you going to be whining about it, or are you going to just be, okay, another challenge, I'm going to overcome it, and I'm going to be positive and, get through it.
Oh, yeah.
So again, you have to stay centered and keep focused in order to overcome obstacles, so.
And that certainly fits with your song Fine Line too. It's the
Yes. Yep, they see how they all basically are all about the same thing.
Yeah. But put in a little bit different perspective, have the same kind of meaning. I do appreciate that. I see here that you have airtime in the other countries, and we've already kind of talked about that, but I have another question along those lines. Do you think they're more consciously aware of what we as a world people need to do?
Do I think that basically the Europeans are a little more enlightened than the Americans?
That was good. Thank you for saying it so very
That's,
kindly.
I think, what you're asking me. That's hard to say. I think in a collective consciousness type of way, I think possibly that is true. I think that the Europeans have a tendency to appreciate the arts more. It seems that way just by how they are.
Mm-hmm.
Here in the United States, depending, I guess, where you are in the United States, you know, many artists that have become famous actually had to go to Europe first and then come back here, even though they're from here.
Mm-hmm.
So that could be it. I don't know. Or maybe marketing is different here, or I just really don't know how to answer that one. I just know that it seems like Europeans might be a little bit more, in some regards, a little just more appreciative of the arts in general, I think.
Okay. Well, I know that in doing the interviews here, I've run into different musicians who have said the same kind of thing, that
really
their
yeah.
music really took off in somewhere in Europe.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Before it has here.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought,
yeah.
okay.
Yeah, it's a little more difficult to get noticed here, although with the last CD, I had a very good promoter and very good response in the United States, all over the United States. I had lots of stations pick me up. So that
good.
Was very encouraging.
Oh, yes, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of that, tell our listeners about where your music is being played on the different TV and cable stations.
Oh, this my is... goodness, that's sort of... It's interesting because I always wish I could turn on these shows so that I could watch. But what happens is they sent me, you know, BMI and the licensing companies, they send me the statements after the fact.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if they go on my website, lourdespita.com, you can see there's a long list. In fact, we don't even have the entire list of all the stations I've been played on. ABC Family Channel, anywhere from that to Discovery Channel, the Travel Channel. I'm even on the Home Shopping Network and all kinds of crazy stuff.
Oh, that's cool.
I was even on, one of my Spanish songs was on Comedy Central not too long ago on Mind Dementia show. So that's encouraging.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and... well, I hope that continues. I would love to get one of my songs in a movie. That would be wonderful.
Yeah. Oh, yes, it would.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever read that book? I know you're supposed to ask the questions, but did you ever read the book Bridge Across Forever?
No, I haven't, but it sounds like...
By
it...
Richard Bach. I actually wrote a song called Bridge Across Forever. I have to re-record it. I recorded it a long time ago, but it's probably one of my better folk songs, and I always wanted that book to become a movie with my song in it.
Well, you just keep that intention at the top of your focus, and it'll happen.
Well, thank you. I think the whole mind mastery thing, I love the name of your radio show.
Thank
because
you.
I think that's what it's all about. I think I really, truly believe that the mind can make you or break you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's very important to make sure that we keep our mind polished, and so that we don't, you know, we are the masters of our mind and not the other way around.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
And that's pretty much what the music is all about. Specifically, Benefit, that particular song off the In Control CD is all mm-hmm. about that.
Mm-hmm. Can you give the listeners some of the words to that?
Oh, sure. The time is here. The time is now to make that oath, the sacred vow, through yourself and unto others. The road becomes clearly rediscovered. And that oath and sacred vow, I've had many, many friends and fans use that particular song for weddings. I had one of my best friends wanted me to play that song for his wedding, and I said, you know, this is about the relationship of myself. It's not a wedding song, but he goes, yeah, but it works great for weddings. You know, that sacred oath, that sacred vow, that works good for me. I'm like, okay. And, you know, and then it snowballed. I've had fans call me saying, can I use that song at my wedding? Could you play it at my wedding? I really can't make your wedding. I have a conflict. Well, could I play it anyway? You know, those kinds of things. So it's nice, but, you know, it's really about the relationship and with myself, I should say.
Yeah. But, you know, we've got to have that great, wonderful relationship and unconditional love to ourselves and within ourselves to actually and truly wholeheartedly give it to another person.
That's right. That's right. That's one of the things that you discover when you go in that inner journey.
Mm-hmm.
which, you know, my Buddhist practice, I have to attribute a lot of my work to that. And, of course, therapy and anything else you can think of.
But look at all the growth that comes.
Right. And all the good songs.
Exactly.
Yeah, you get the growth and the songs, you know.
Yes.
And of course, I have plenty of those love songs, you know. Well, you know, the relationship didn't work out, but I got a few good songs out of it. So. And of course, life lessons.
Of course. Yes.
Know, it was hopefully, wonderful. Because if not, you're just going to repeat the same mistakes with the next person. So.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing how much enlightenment you can get when you're willing to look in the mirror.
Isn't it the truth?
You know, I had a friend that I made here when I first moved to Boston, and she's also a fabulous singer-songwriter, and she also is the one that turned me on to Buddhism, and she says, you might want to start looking in the mirror a little bit. I mean, she didn't literally say that, but she kind of helped me get there, and she was a very, very loving, patient friend, and eventually when I started really looking in the mirror, I just really appreciated, you know, having a friend like that had enough patience with me to help me help myself become enlightened, you know.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
We need good friends like that. We need positive people around us, I think. I think that I try to do my best if I'm around any energy drains or people that are just always focusing on the negative. I try to not be around those kind of people.
It's best that we just walk away.
Oh, yeah, and I think it's a journey that never ends.
Oh, yeah.
You know, anybody that thinks that enlightenment is a destination gets the whole point.
True. Very, very true.
You know, there's a difference between, you know, coming from your soul center, I like to call it, and coming from your ego. Anybody coming from their ego is just not going to be receptive to somebody trying to tell them, could you please look in the mirror? Because you need to really look in the mirror here.
Oh, you boy, did you hit that one.
Yes.
So true, Lourdes.
Yes. And that includes me.
Yeah, and me too. I certainly have moments and times where it's like, you better get a hold of this, Jane. Stop.
Yeah, well, we're human. That's the whole point, you know.
And I keep, that's one of the reasons that I have chosen to have this radio station is because I want people to listen to all this wonderful music and flood their brains with all these wonderful lyrics and things that they can relate to, and then see what the main idea of each song is, because it'll help them move that much more quickly forward, I
mm-hmm.
believe.
Yeah, I hopefully it would inspire them. You know, kind of like when I go to Hay House Radio and I hear all these wonderful shows on there that are just, you know, so encouraging and enlightening.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like you could do that, the same thing, but with music.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
On this station, which I think is great. Mind Mastery Radio, I just think that's fabulous.
Yes, and there's a lot of studies and tremendous research. It absolutely will make a difference in
people's
lives.
That's probably why music therapy is so popular now.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. And they've proven what it does. I mean, they really have. The research is just awesome.
So if somebody needs to relax and feel calm and enlightened, they'll play, you know, Megadeth.
Yeah.
Here's some heavy metal with really loud distortion and screaming vocals and really mad artist singers.
Yep.
That'll lift you up.
Yeah, it'll do something, all right.
It's going to do something.
But that's all part of everybody's journey in their own time and own space. All of a sudden, it'll start hitting them, and
we'll all
make a difference.
Well, that's why, you know, people say, oh, New Age music, if you go to a massage and they play all this soft music that they're now calling New Age.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't say that's my music, but...
They're working on a new genre called POZ, P-O-Z.
Positive?
Yes, yes.
Well, how about just universal? How about any religion could relate to? You know?
That's what this the Positive Music Association is about, and that's what it's getting at. Is they're not looking at specific religions; they're looking at anybody with whatever their belief may be, it's okay. But it's the whole...
Well, I think it's more uniting, too.
I mean,
to put them in different categories, is to me, it's more divisive. I think it should be all one category of just uplifting, spiritual, positive music.
Yes, absolutely.
And Christian bands can fit in there, Buddhist bands, if they do exist, or, you know, whatever.
Yeah. I think all of the, from my research and studies, there's a indication out there that all religions believe there is one creator, and it's up to whatever a person, individual person wants to call that creator.
Right.
So,
yeah. I mean, there's definitely different roads to the same destination. So, I think that's the beauty. There's religion itself fascinates me. Theology fascinates me. And I just think the fatal flaw with all the religions is that they all say they're the only path. And
yeah.
It's like, could you all notice that you all say that? And maybe you could maybe come together.
Yes.
Yeah, I love what Bill Clinton said a long time ago. He's a very brilliant man. He said that if all religions would just agree that they don't know everything, we wouldn't be starting all these needless wars over religion. I just thought that was the most brilliant thing I ever heard in my life. But it is quite simple.
Yeah.
You know, you take the nuggets of wisdom of every religion. That's the beauty of religion. But then I think at the same time, when I look at the other side of it, I said, this is the problem with religion, too. They all are trying to claim the only turf, you know, like, this is it. Everybody else. Yeah. No, you're going to hell. Or
yes.
Like, and somebody with half a brain just goes, OK, I think that's called dogma.
Yeah.
I try to take the best of all religions and leave the rest. And I think that's why I was so attracted to Buddhism.
Mm-hmm.
Because I never really saw anywhere in there. It was kind of a very logical, almost like a scientific type of religion, almost like quantum physics, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever see that movie, What the Bleep Do We Know?
I've read the interpretation of that movie. I haven't seen it, but
movie. It really summed it up so beautifully. I said, yeah, that's quantum physics. It's the closest thing I've ever seen to Buddhism, or the other way around. And, you know, it's all about cause and effect. What are you putting out? Your mind, back to the mind, your mind is projecting what's in front of you. In other words, you're creating your own reality.
Correct. Basic law of attraction.
Yeah.
Proven through quantum physics.
And the whole law of cause and effect seems to make a lot of sense to me.
Absolutely.
Like, okay, well, let's see. If I do destructive things, perhaps I'm not going to get very good effects. Perhaps I might want to try to do positive things, you know.
Yes.
You know, it's good training for the mind to figure these things out.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, when I realized that I was the one that was responsible for my own happiness, that's when I wrote Benefit. I realized, oh my God, I can choose whether I can be miserable or happy. You got to be kidding me. This is great to know. I mean, I've found out that it was a lot easier to be miserable, first of all.
Oh, yes.
And then
yes.
I thought, well, how about I put an effort to be happy? That's a great idea. Let's go. Let's do that, Lourdes.
Yeah.
And that's when I wrote Benefit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, see, look what wonderful thing came out of it.
Oh,
when you changed your mind.
That's right.
We're running right down on time here, Lourdes. Would you leave with our listeners a meaningful message?
Well, you should have told me this earlier so I could have thought about this. You should have prepared me now. Let's see. I would say... never give up, and always, always reach for your dreams, no matter how old you are. Never think that it's ever too late to ever accomplish any of your dreams, and always listen to Mind Mastery Radio so you can stay encouraged.
Absolutely. Oh, I love that. Yes. Lourdes, give the listeners your website address again.
Oh, sure. It's www.lourdespita.com, LourdesPita.com, or you can get there by putting in eaglepeakrecords.com. That'll get you there as well.
And if you didn't get a chance, listeners, to write that down, on the Mind Mastery Radio website, there is a picture of Lourdes, and you can click on her picture, and it'll take you right to her website as well. Thank you so much for being here.
Well, thank you so much for the interview. That was great.
And sharing your wonderful inspiration. So, listeners, we're going to have to back it out of here right now, but we're going to end this session with you listening to Seize the Dream.